This is 89.1 WEMU. It's your community NPR station. I'm David Fair, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of Creative Impact. Every week, we take a look at the arts and creative industries in Washtenaw County through the eyes of local artists, creative workers, organizations, and businesses. We take the greater Ann Arbor area and focus on it as one of Michigan's strongest and most vibrant arts and creative industry hubs. Now, WEMU's Creative Impact content partner is the Arts Alliance, and Deb Pollack serves as its president and CEO, and she's my co-host. Welcome back, Deb.
One of my most important roles, your co-host. It's good to be here, David.
You are alone in that sentiment.
Our national unemployment rate is sitting at about 6.2%. The job market is certainly an area of interest.
What about the creative industries? What does that job market look like right now?
Well, it's been hit hard. For example, close to 37% of all nonprofit jobs are lost in the country over the last year are in the arts and creative industries. But still, there are a lot of people that are working in jobs that are to be had. And I was doing a recent search and found some interesting titles. Combat designer, senior character artist, program encoder, sound design testers, and people that are fearlessly and relentlessly debugging difficult problems.
These all in the same field?
Well, let's ask our guest, Ann Arborite Jeremy Gibson Bond. He is the professor of practice game design and development at the top-rated undergraduate game design program at a public university per the Princeton Review, and that's Michigan State University. So let's welcome Jeremy to the show.
Jeremy, thank you so much for making time for Creative Impact today.
Oh, absolutely. Good to talk to you all.
So, Jeremy, you know games. Take us into that world, that industry, if you will, of game design and development. It sounds like a dream job for anyone who grew up playing and loving video games. Were you that kid?
Yeah, I was. There weren't a lot of ways to get into the industry at the time. You know, you just kind of found your way in if you could. I couldn't take classes at school in game development like my students can now. So it's really, there are much clearer direct ways to get into the industry now than there used to be.
I'm going to age myself here, but when I was a kid, when we talked about getting involved with video games, we got to play Atari Pong, and that was about all that was available to me. It has grown exponentially, and now it is truly an industry that is kind of a STEM program in educational institutions. From what door?
A STEAM program.
STEAM program, right. From what door did enter into the field, Jeremy?
Well, I kind of came in as a programmer, I guess. I started as a programmer, and I was working as a programmer for a while, and then decided that I really wanted to focus on design. So that's when I went back to grad school and actually finally got to take some games-focused classes.
What was it like to launch your first game?
You know, it's just a long time. There's this great quote that the last 10% of the game takes 90% of the time, and that's so true. It's a ton of work, but it's just amazing to see it get out there and see people playing it and enjoying it.
You know, with our emphasis here at Creative Impact on the business and jobs, where the aesthetic and intrinsic value of arts are important, but certainly this is also an industry and it has an economic impact. Well, just how big is the video gaming industry? Do you have an idea?
Well, according to the Entertainment Software Association, just in a report I was looking at today, the games industry in Michigan alone is over $319 million per year, which is fascinating. And just as an industry itself worldwide, it's bigger than film, it's bigger than music, it's really amazingly large.
And that is why it seems to me so many educational institutions are getting involved. Eastern Michigan University, for one, now has the Game Above College of Engineering and Technology offering a Bachelor of Science degree focusing on simulation, animation, and gaming. Even when it comes to gambling, esports are absolutely huge. So it's a relatively new industry. What is its future?
Well, I think especially we've seen in the pandemic that it continues to grow because it's a way that allows you to connect with people even if you're not in the same room with them.
It's creative minds, technology, and possibly the market that drives it. What's the most important part of that?
I think the most important part is just creating things that people love to play. You know, creating games that people enjoy, that connect them, that give them a little bit of a break from their regular life.
Why so much fascination with violence in these games?
It's kind of unfortunate. Honestly, I think because it's easy to do. It's kind of like you can see an action movie that's made for $20,000, and it can be entertaining to people. It's a cheap, easy way to do it, and frankly, mathematically, it's easy to calculate. Games that really get at emotions, games that, like, say, Journey by that game company that won so many awards several years ago, which is about the idea of journeying through life and acceptance of passing on. I mean, that won tons of awards, and so many people saw it, but that took years to create. And it's hard to create real, beautiful art that gets to people's souls and speaks to them that way.
Creative Impact continues on 89.1 WEMU with Deb Pollock, my Creative Impact co-host. We're talking with Jeremy Gibson Bond from Michigan State University. It has the top-rated undergraduate game design program at any public university across the country, per the Princeton Review.
Jeremy, the games put people in another reality, or can do that. You have a film background. There's storytelling in all of this. How important is that to a successful game?
I think it depends on the game, but we've seen so many games where the storytelling is the real core thing that brings people in and gets them to look at it. One of my colleagues, Dr. Beth LaPonce, that's what she does. She writes games and makes beautiful games that talk about real issues in the world.
It's an industry that's been historically dominated by men. Do you have any idea why that is, and what, if anything, you and your colleagues are doing to kind of close that gender gap?
You know, we're really working on that, and it has been a problem for years. I mean, it goes back to the early computer ads in the 80s when Apple and other companies thought that if they spoke to men and made it a manly thing to have a computer, that they'd be able to sell more of them. I mean, it started out sexist way back then. For years, you know, the game industry has been improving its breadth, improving, you know, not just men and women, but people of all genders, you know, in the industry. And especially you see that in independent games, like games at that you see at the IndieCade conference and things like that. In our school, you know, we work very hard to make our department a welcoming place for anyone across gender, race, economic background, all kinds of things. And we try and make it a place that's welcoming to everyone, and that will trickle up into the industry. And so we're watching the industry get better. It just takes time, and we're working as fast as we can.
And from the broader perspective, there is a lot more investment in getting young girls and young women involved in STEM and STEAM programs, and that includes gaming. At Eastern Michigan University, $1 million has been invested to bring forth a program that will include a Women in Gaming summer camp. So we are headed in the right direction on that front. I have a grandchild who is 6 years old, and I keep telling my daughter, his mom, that he needs to start looking into those kinds of programs that will get him involved in these kinds of endeavors with artificial intelligence, because that's where the careers of the future are going to be, right?
Yeah, and there's so many great ways for kids to get involved now. So many, like, toys you can find where, well, it's a toy and it's the story about, you know, you're a space adventurer and you're going off into space, but the things that you're doing to advance the story is learning how to program this little programmable device to kind of solve the problems that astronaut is encountering in their space flight. And that kind of thing is an amazing way to mix gaming and education for kids to kind of bring them into that STEAM field.
At the same time, a lot of us grandparents, a lot of us parents, very concerned about the amount of time that people are spending in front of screens and what the long-term impacts of that might be. Do you have any concerns on that front?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, you hear that when television people came along, people said, oh, no, it's going to be awful. But, and, you know, in some ways it was. So I do think we need to be aware of that. I do think that there are lots of games now that can actually get people outside and walking around. We certainly saw that with Pokemon Go several years ago, and people are still continuing to play that. So I think it's just something that we need to keep an eye on, because we're moving in that direction. There is going to be more screen time. We just need to find ways to make it healthier.
So, Jeremy, you're in the gaming industry. It sounds like fun. Is it fun? Is it actually a fun area to be working in?
I love it. I mean, that's why I'm doing it. But it's a tremendous amount of work. It's a lot of hard work. Now, I mean, you hear about crunch, and crunch is a real thing sometimes, but really it's interesting problems. It's difficult, interesting problems, and lots of awesome, creative people working towards solving them.
Jeremy, thank you so much for making time for us today and for sharing your story and making it sound so interesting, fascinating, and fun.
It was really wonderful to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeremy.
That is Jeremy Gibson Bond. He teaches game design and development at Michigan State University. He is also the founder of X Ninja Interactive LLC, the chair of education and advancement for IndieCade, and the vice president for Airship Studios Corp. Deb Pollock will be back again next week with another show.
Absolutely, with another Creative Washington guest.
Deb Pollock is president and CEO of the Arts Alliance and our partner in Creative Impact. It's a regular feature you hear each Tuesday. Again, to learn more about today's guest and topic and to access the Creative Impact Archive, just visit our website at WEMU.org. I'm David Fair, and this is your community NPR station, 89.1 WEMU-FM and HD1 Ypsilanti.